Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lisa H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Today is Wednesday, January 21st, 2025, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter How It Works on page 68. We'll be reading and commenting on the third paragraph that begins, "We never apologize to anyone," and ends, "We commence to outgrow fear." Today's readers for the 12 steps, Marianne H., the 12 traditions, Christina L., readers of the text, Penny C., Vanessa G., and our backup is Nancy P. Our newcomer greeter is Karen W. The second hour host is Colleen M., and announcements will be given by Nancy C. Thanks for your service in this new year, everybody. The reference numbers for yesterday, Tuesday, December 31st, 2024, for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,037. That's 22,037. And for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,038. That's 22,038. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Mary Ann H. to please read the 12 steps.
Thank you, Mary Ann H., recovered compulsive overeater in New Jersey. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for your service. Happy New Year. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Marianne H. from New Jersey. And I'll now ask Christina L. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Christina L. from Florida. Here are the 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me do service, and Happy New Year, everyone.
Thank you, Christina L. from Florida. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in the chapter How It Works on page 68. We'll be reading and commenting on the third paragraph that begins, "We never apologize to anyone," and ends, "We commence to outgrow fear." And I will now ask Penny C. to please begin reading.
Good morning. Thank you so much. And Happy New Year, everybody. We never apologize to anyone for depending upon our Creator. We can laugh at those who think spirituality the way of weakness. Paradoxically, it is the way of strength. The verdict of the ages is that faith means courage. All men of faith have courage. They trust their God. We never apologize for God. Instead, we let Him demonstrate through us what He can do. We ask Him to remove our fear and direct our attention to what He would have us be. At once, we commence to outgrow fear. Every time I hear this paragraph being read, I think about an incident where I was brand new to OA and had just gotten a job at a hospital as a nurse educator. And I was working late to teach CPR. And as I was ready to leave about 11 o'clock at night, I went up to the office of the supervisor just to tell her I was leaving and chat a little bit. And a call came in while I was there from a hospital saying that one of the nurses who was working at the time, her son, had been killed in a motorcycle accident, and they wanted the supervisor to tell her. So she asked me, would I stay and be there when she told this woman? So she called her over, and her name was Marie. Marie came, and we you know, she sat down, and when the supervisor told her what had happened, she just looked a bit shocked and cried a little bit. Supervisor said, "Would you like one of us to go with you? You shouldn't be driving after hearing this news. Shouldn't go alone." And she said, I won't be going alone. I'm never alone. I have God with me." And despite all my religious education, I actually the next day called my sister, and the way the woman looked up to the heavens and said, "I have God with me," we laughed. I actually laughed at someone who wore their religion or their faith on their sleeve. And what a transformation has occurred in me after working through the steps. Now, very often, it just comes out, and I just say, you know, when I end a conversation, I might say, "God bless." And sometimes people look uncomfortable. And, you know, and I never before OA would have done that. And it says here, they trust, all men of faith have courage. They trust their God. After listening years ago, many years ago, when Vision for You was pretty new, I heard a podcast, a woman who trusted God under very, very difficult circumstances. And she said something like, "God, I'm yours and I trust you." And that's my mantra now. God, I'm yours and I trust you. And I want everybody to know how much I trust my God. And I will never, never apologize for that. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Penny C., for getting us started this morning. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shares to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you've shared on any of the Vision meetings on Monday or Tuesday this week, if you'll hold back this morning, who would like to share on what was read?
Nicole,
Janet B.
Nicole,
Roz,
Janet, Roz, Johan, Honietta,
Dara F.
Vasa O.
Vasa. So you're going to probably have to remind me of your, let me tell you who I have. Nicole, I have Janet B., Roz G., Johan, Honietta, Dara F., Vasa O. Did I get everybody that said their name? Okay, Nicole, if you'll give us the first initial of your last name, you're up first, followed by Janet B.
Hi, this is Nicole S. I'm recovered in Colorado. Thank you for your service today. And what a wonderful paragraph. It gives me directions of how to remove fear. And I know that when I trust God and, you know, he can remove that fear. I don't have to be in it anymore. And I love where it says, "Instead, we let him demonstrate through us what he can do." And I find a direct correlation with the more that I try, the more I fail. And whenever I just can say, "God, I can't do this, but I know you can through me," and let him demonstrate and just trust that he's got me, he's got the situation, he's got my loved ones, he has the whole world, then he does miraculous things to me. And then I, at the end of the day, I can think, "Wow, there was success today because I gave up trying and I let him demonstrate through me." And it's so simple, you know, just right here, you know, what a simple prayer when I remember to do it. Whenever I have fear, just immediately ask God, remove my fear, direct me to what you'd have me be. And, you know, the opposite of fear is that trust and faith in him, and just knowing that, you know, I don't see the big picture, but God does. I get so tunnel visioned. I think of, you know, when they have a horse on pulling a cart, they have to put the blinders on the side so the horse doesn't get distracted and can focus just what's straight ahead. And that's with me. I have those blinders on, and I can't see the big picture, but God can. So I love how this just sums it up about fear at the very end, that when we ask him to remove our fear and direct our attention to what he would have us be, and at once we commence to outgrow fear. And that's you know, not in the future, in, you know, a month from now. That's at once when I do that. And so this is a very clear directions. Once again, I love the big book, The Clear Directions of How to Outgrow Fear. Thank you for letting me share. Happy New Year, everyone.
Thank you, Nicole S. from Colorado. And Janet B., you're up, followed by Roz G.
Good morning and Happy New Year, everyone. This is Janet B. in North Carolina. Look at what this paragraph says. It says, spirituality is the way of strength. So that means, like, okay, I need to know, what is spirituality? And it says a couple things here, right, that we depend upon our Creator. We trust God. But I think that's only part of it, because the paragraph above says there's really two parts to trusting God and playing the role he assigns. And that's doing as I think he would have me. I mean, to take a ludicrous example, if I said, I trust God, and I went out robbing banks, well, I certainly couldn't expect any help from God. But this program is about getting help from God, about God coming in and removing my food obsession and rearranging my heart and my life in a way that's indeed miraculous, the way it says on page 25. So in order for me to put myself in a position to have this miracle, it tells me I need to embrace spirituality. That means I need to trust God, and I need to do what I think he would want me to. And certain things, obviously God doesn't talk to me with a bullhorn, but certain things we know, right? Like, we know we have to be rigorously honest. If we're not honest, it's like we have a big black marker and write the words, keep out God, across our hearts. God won't coexist with dishonesty, our book tells us. I need to do acts of self-sacrifice, put the welfare of others ahead of my own. And then our program tells us, if I play the role that God assigns me and I humbly rely on him, I trust my loving Creator, then no matter what, I can have serenity even when there's calamity. And when that happens, when I trust God and do what I think he wants, which is really what our third step is, right? We surrender to him. Then I really give him permission to come in and work his miracle in my soul and remove that food obsession. And with that, I will pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Janet B. And Roz G., you're up, followed by Johan.
Okay, thank you. Yes, Happy New Year. My name is Roz G. I'm a compulsive overeater, recovered in Palmdale, California, which is in the county of Los Angeles. It's 4:18 a.m. on New Year's Day, and the first, you know, speaking I want to do, besides to God, is to be on an OA meeting. That's what I want to, you know, do very early. You know, just declaring that I wanna continue on in Overeaters Anonymous. And I can't think of a better New Year's goal than this paragraph. This paragraph says to me that I have faith and that I have courage and that I trust God. What better New Year's goal can I have? To have faith, to have courage, and to trust God, and to never apologize for God. That doesn't mean I have to shove God down people's throats. But for me, I don't have to apologize to you or to anybody else that I trust God. And that I don't have, that I can let God demonstrate through me what he can do. I don't have to seek attention. I don't have to brag about my life. And I don't have to be, you know, one that wants to be known. I can just simply live my life one day at a time, practicing the next right thing, and allowing God to do the rest. And that God's power will shine through me, that I don't have to do it. Yes, there's a lot of actions I have to take. I have to get up in the morning and ask God to remove, you know, my selfishness and self-centeredness. That's never going to go away. And write down my food plan and send it to my sponsor. Those are the actions I take and pause throughout the day. And when I do that, God's light shines through me. And I'm sure that I will have fears throughout the year. But one, you know, if I say, God, please remove my fear and direct my attention to what you would have me be, what better way can I live than to ask God to live through me, to shine through me, and to show me what you would have me be? Trusting, kind, loving, tolerant, patient, a person that takes deep breaths before responding or reacting, which is, I've been working on that a lot lately, and it really has helped. And not to be filled with self-pity, because I've been a person that has just lived on self-pity. I'm working on that too. I ask God specifically to remove my self-pity in the morning. It helps. It really does. Because there's so many things to be grateful for. And making gratitude lists. I do that every day too, twice a day, morning and evening. And it really helps. And it helps me to commence an outgrowing fear. So with that, I pass, and Happy New Year, everybody.
Thank you, Roz G. And Johan, I think it's Johan M., if you'll remind us of your first initial of your last name. You're up, followed by Hanietta R.
Hi, good morning. My name is Johan M., like in Nancy, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater calling in from Sweden. Thank you so much for service today, for all the shares, for this beautiful paragraph. And there's a lot in this paragraph, you know. If I would have trust God 100%, I wouldn't have any fears. But my fears show me that I'm not entirely trusting God, and I don't think that I can ever reach that place where I can fully trust God. But in this paragraph, we also have the fear prayer, and this whole program is about taking action, you know. And this is on the way of taking action, I would say, you know, getting down on my knees, doing the fear prayer, and then letting God put his attention to what he would have me be. And it's a beautiful promise after that. At once we commence to outgrow fear. At once. And we commence to outgrow fear. We commence to outgrow fear, you know, at once. So after taking action, something happens. And it really did that to me too. And it still does when I do this prayer, you know. And God always have an answer to me, what I should do in every situation, if I just pray about it. And ultimately, hard word, I need to face my fears, you know. If I have a fear of heights, I need to get up on heights, you know. I have had a fear of heights. I've had a fear of wasps, you know. I need to face that as well. If you have a fear of spiders, you know, get a spider. I was in the hobby of tarantulas, and a lot of the people that was in that hobby was old, I think it's called arachnophobes. So they were scared of spiders, and they got a spider, and they just, you know, got over their fear and just, you know, enjoyed it. And God, if I have God, God always have my back. If I just trust God and, you know, I go out and do whatever I need to do, even though I have fear about it, like, you know, Star One, that's one of my biggest fears, but, you know, here I am, and God have my back. And if I just do that, take action, you know, God have my back, and I will outgrow my fear, and the fears will disappear, you know, one by one by one. And some fears are harder, takes time, you know. Some fears I don't know if I ever will be rid of, but, you know, I have faith, and faith gives me courage to face my fears and ultimately, you know, live as a free human being, not in any way isolated by my fears, like I used to be. So, yeah, great paragraph. Happy New Year, everybody, and without a pause. Thanks.
Thank you, Johan M. from Sweden, and Hanietta R., Europe, followed by Dara F.
Good morning. Happy New Year. Thank you for your service. This is Hanietta R. from Plano, Texas, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm in remission today and have been. I'm so grateful. First, Happy New Year to everybody. Hope we have a happy, healthy, and abstinent New Year. It says we never apologize to anyone for depending upon our Creator. And then it also says we never apologize for God. Bill never puts things in the same word in twice unless it's really important. And we don't apologize. You know, we can go around. I belong to a little chat with my cousins and my sisters and my brother. And everybody, you know, if somebody gets sick, I always, say something about God. And I'm the only one. And something good happens, I'm always saying, you know, praise God. You know, I don't apologize for that. And they all know that I'm going to do that. And they respect me for it because I don't hide it. And I'm very proud of it. And the other thing that it says, in step three, just on page 63, just a few things before, it says, take away my difficulties that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help. And, you know, that's what I'm seeing here too, that I want people to be able to see my higher power, my God through me, so that people can relate to that. So if they have questions, they can ask me. And I love when people ask me about, you know, how I stay with faith and that I thank God for even bad things. I started thanking God for my husband's kidney failure. And lo and behold, somebody offered to give him his kidney. I just believe that when I thank God for things that scare me or I could have fear over, then I don't have that fear anymore because I'm thanking God and I know that He's going to take care of me and my family and whoever else I'm praying for. So thank you so much for this. I do believe that it's all a miracle. My life is a miracle. I should be dead many times over with what I've done in the past. So thank you so much to God. Thank you to you all. And if you haven't had your miracle yet, don't quit 5 minutes before your miracle. It's out there for you. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Thank you. Hello to all the newcomers.
Thank you. Thank you, Hanietta R. from Texas. And Dara F., you're up, followed by Vasa O.
Hi, thanks for letting me share. This is Dara F., as in Frank, in Manassas, Virginia. And I grew up in a household where depending on God was thought of as something that is done by people who aren't very intellectually advanced and who are very weak and need to lean on something that doesn't exist. So reading a paragraph like this was not easy for me at first. It was really hard for me to swallow the concept of any kind of a power outside of myself, which I have come to and I've taken a good step to, and I've made, come to rely on a power greater than myself, which I do refer to as God. But I'm getting ready to go home to New Orleans to visit my mother, and she is in the process of going into assisted living, and she's in the hospital right now. And I spoke to her yesterday, and she was in I've never been her favorite, and we've never gotten along, and it's been a terrible relationship. But she was very, very willing to throw zingers at me and be very rude and very unpleasant. And I said the sick man's prayer for her. But I also thought, while she was busy accusing me of a lot of different things, I said, you know, Mom, I'm really looking forward to possibly playing Scrabble with you, or maybe we can do some crossword puzzles or read People magazine. What would you think of that? And she suddenly stopped, like, spewing mean stuff at me, and she said, well, that sounds nice. And she sounds like totally surprised, and it was a totally new idea, came from my higher power, to treat it that way instead of just getting defensive and upset and spewing stuff back at her, just to tell her that I wanted to do something nice with her. And I'm praying, I'm asking for, you know, God to give me as much help as possible to overcome my fear of dealing with my mother. And I'm hoping that God will continue to give me these moments of insight as to how to not be defensive and protective of myself, but to be loving and kind to her. And to me, that change in me is definitely a reason to believe in my higher power, because this was not me. This was definitely a power outside of myself giving me this strength. So thank you for letting me share. Happy New Year to everyone, and I pass.
Thank you, Dara F. from Virginia. And Vasa O., please share with us.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm Vasa. Grateful, recovered, compulsive reader calling from Florida. And Happy New Year to all of us. And this is a beautiful paragraph, and it's a reminder where I came from. When I came from the first day to my 12-step program for Overeaters Anonymous. And I came from a family. I came from another country, communist country, and my father was a pastor, and there was a lot of religion pushed on us. And we went to school in a communist country. We thought there was no God. So I had a lot of confusion in my head. And I had the tendency more to believe what we were taught in school than, you know, than the way we're taught at home. It was just so too much pushing. And so I kind of got away from God over the years. Till I was ready. Again, God gave me this disease of compulsive overeating that brought me to my knees, you know. And my sponsor suggested for me to surrender to the only way we can recover if we surrender to a power greater than ourselves with the food addiction. And later on, I learned about emotions and spirituality and all that stuff. But I was so desperate for me to, you know, the food. And I was ready and willing to surrender to whoever you tell me to. I'll surrender because I cannot keep going the way I'm going. You know, to me, it's to keep on going. It's to die. And that was the beginning, you know. And then it has been a gradual transformation over the years. And with the food addiction, it is by the grace of my higher power, I became abstinent from the first night I came to the program, because God was doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. Every time the compulsion came, I'd get on my knees and ask God, and I'd use the tools. I did whatever it took. So I could see how God was helping me to do that with the food addiction, and then with the fears. I had lots of fears, And I needed to list all the fears down and go through with my sponsor. When did the fear started? What, how it affected my life and what I should have done. And of course, you know, I needed to ask to replace the fear with faith. Please, God, remove my fear and help me go through the transformation with the fears. I had so many fears. And I still, like in elevators, I don't like to go alone, but I ask somebody to help me, to go with me. And I'm beginning to feel more comfortable now. I will not touch snakes. I don't care if people, you know, I'm afraid. I don't want to. There's no need for me to be touching snakes. And I see people touch them. So I went, thank you. Thank you. This, I did not believe, but I came to believe. Thank you for letting me share that pass.
Thank you, Vasa O from Florida. And we are on page 68 in the big book, in the chapter How It Works, the third paragraph that begins, we never apologize to anyone, and ends, we commence to outgrow fear. Who else would like to share this morning?
Pete B.
Laurel B.
Pete, Laurel.
Leah
Cheryl
F.
Cheryl L.
Leah F. Sorry, I missed whoever came after Leah.
Cheryl L. Florida.
Cheryl, thank you. Anybody else?
Monica Delaware.
Monica. Okay, this is what I have. Pete B, Laurel B, Leah F, Cheryl L, and Monica. You'll have to give us your first initial of your last name. But Pete B, you're up, followed by Laurel B.
Thanks, moderator, for taking the meeting. Appreciate your service. My name is Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy. And, yeah, I'm not really sure who they're talking about. Are they talking about the fellowship of OA? Because we hear all the time, we hear apologies for God. Yeah, and we're going to hear a lot more coming up, right? Because we're going to have a lot of, you know, new people either re-entering the program or coming to the program for the first time. And we're going to hear a lot of really, really well-intentioned, kind-hearted people make apologies for God. We're going to offer the newcomer, don't worry about this God thing. Go to a bunch of meetings. Get yourself a sponsor. Hang in there. Eventually you're going to figure it out. Maybe you'll find a power greater than yourself, or maybe you'll just select a group as your power. That's an apology for God. We're apologizing for God, right? On page 44, it tells us, if when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely, or if when drinking you have little control over the amount you take, you are probably alcoholic. If that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. So somebody, you know, I'd love to, how do you have a spiritual experience without a spirit, right? Right? And our book tells us that there is one that has all power. That one is God, and you find him now. You know, or we're going to jam other people's conception of God down people's throat. Oh, it has to be this, right? God can't exist if dishonesty, you know, with dishonesty, right? That's your conception of God. I'd love to tell that to the people that hid the Jews during the Holocaust. You lied to the Nazis. God can't exist here. Right? That's your conception of God. You know, this book tells us on many different occasions that we have to be the demonstration. Our activities, our actions, our words, those are going to be the demonstration of our God's love, our God's will, and our God's way of life. Right? See, God removes the merciless obsession. It's not by outworking, outthinking, outcalling, right? Out meetings. Like, God removes the merciless obsession. God either removes it or they don't. If it hasn't been removed and you've outworked it, then you don't have the condition as described in the book as being an alcoholic or compulsive overeater of the hopeless variety. You know, it tells us here we ask God to remove our fear, but then we commence to outgrow fear, right? There's no magical thing that occurs. It's not an event, the removal of fear. Fear is going to be with us till the day we die. It's there by the Creator. We commence to outgrow irrational fear, and growth Growth in every part of nature is a process and not an event. And the only way for things to grow is to meet resistance. So our irrational fears, our apprehension, our concerns, they're all the resistance that's been put in our path for us to grow through. So we have to commence to grow. And the only way to grow is to have a growth mindset, to understand like there is more to learn, more to understand, more to experience in this world. Right?
Time.
Like there's the I'll pass this.
Thank you, Pete B. And Laurel B, you're up, followed by Leah F.
Hi, this is Laurel B, recovered from Wakanda, Illinois. Happy New Year, everybody. I really love this paragraph because before I came to this program, I was just full of fear, just full of irrational fear, just full of fear. And it says, we never apologize for God. And now I don't have to be embarrassed about relying upon God. It can be a strength rather than a weakness. It also says here we let him demonstrate through us what he can do. And what's amazing to me is that the people about me have seen me change more than I can detect it in myself. People have seen me change into somebody who has courage, more courage. And it says we ask, which means we pray to him to have him remove our fear and direct our attention to what he would have us be. And I do outgrow fear when I say the prayer and get directed so that I can be of maximum service to God and the people about me. That's why I do it, because I want to be of maximum service. And so I'm very grateful for this prayer. It really has changed my life. So with that, I pass, and everybody have a happy new year. Thank you.
Thank you, Laurel B. And Leah F., you're up, followed by Cheryl L.
Good morning, everyone.
Happy new year.
I'm recovered, Leah S., in Brooklyn, New York. And this is an interesting paragraph for me because I always used to retaliate to whatever you said or whatever you did. I used to have the answer right by my tongue, and I'm smarter, and I'm really really more intelligent, and I'm this or that. And that concept of me, 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 me had to be crushed. And what am I left with? Nothing. Nothing. I'm absolutely nothing because I no longer retaliate. I think about what God would want me to answer. And if I don't find an answer or an idea, so to speak, what to answer, I just don't answer. And I found myself saying, I don't know. And I found myself saying, I can't do this. And I found people yelling at me, of course you can, of course you this. And, well, maybe yesterday I did it, maybe last year I did it. Now I can't do it. And that's it. And just trust God. For whatever happens will happen. And what happened? People started looking at me. You're so brutally honest. It felt so good. It felt so good. Yeah, that's it. That's it. So where do we get courage and faith? They grow together. I guess it grows on you. And I can't have the monopoly, you know, you do this and you do that, and then God will, you know. It doesn't work that way. It's got to be an inside experience. It's got to be your own experience with your abstinence, with your situations, with your circumstances, and with life. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Leah S. from New York. And Cheryl L., you're up, followed by Monica.
Good morning. This is Cheryl L. from Florida. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Happy New Year. And it's so good to be with you, all of you, this morning, and so good to be able to call in here. I've been really thinking about this and talking about it, praying about it. You know, I've been in this program for over 2 years, and fear, anxiety, all of its manifestations have continued to crop up, you know, in my life. And what that looks like for me is attempting to control outcomes, attempting to plan things out the way that I want them to be. And it just doesn't work. You know, it really, really doesn't. This morning I was thinking about about my higher power, about all the things in my life that I have made my higher power in the past. I get on the scale the first of the month, you know, to weigh myself, and that's the only time that I'm weighing myself during the month. Once upon a time, my higher power, you know, once upon a time, food was my higher power, and I turned to it for fulfilling all of my insecurities, all of the emptiness that I had inside of me. Today, I do turn to my higher power, and I do have a faith, but it's a faith that I'm still working on, because, you know, I can trust and rely on God for my food because I know that I have absolutely no control over it, but I have a very difficult time with trusting and relying on God for the small day-to-day things in my life. And somebody mentioned just a little while ago about pausing, about not saying the first thing that comes to my mind. You know, I am a woman of education, and so, you know, I've been, you know, a long, long time ago, I was brought up to believe that education was key. And today, you know what, I don't really need to rely on my education to know how God would have me be. And that's the thing for me, is how would God have me be? You know, he would have me be loving and kind and patient and tolerant. He would have me showing compassion. You know, somebody else mentioned about showing compassion to their mother who is aging. You know, I have relatives who are suffering, and their suffering comes out sideways in their relationship with me. You know, I can show them compassion, and today I can realize that they have a higher power too, and I'm not it. So I can just be there for them, and I don't have to try to fix whatever's going on in their lives. It gives me a lot of freedom. There'll be a lot of people, you know, coming on the line as we've heard, you know, maybe trying this way for the first time or maybe coming back again. It took me a while, but the work is definitely worth it. You know, and with it, I carry peace. You know, I carry purpose. God's purpose in my life today is to be of service. And I try to carry that. Carry the message to the sick and suffering overeater. Thank you for letting me share today. God bless everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Cheryl L. from Florida. And Monica, you're up, if you'll give us the first initial of your last name.
Good morning, Monica M. from Delaware. And thanks, everyone, for your service. And I'm very grateful today that I am 3 years abstinent. I'm getting emotional because if it wasn't for my trust, you know, in a higher power and the trust of the people that have walked ahead of me, I would not be here today. It's one day at a time program, one situation at a time program. And I'm so glad that on January 1st, after, you know, trying all these diets and everything, I asked God, is there any meetings on Zoom? I didn't know about the vision until I got a good sponsor that told me about it. So anybody struggling, it is doable. The food is 10% of it all. What I've found that has strengthened my spirituality day by day is, you know, trusting the people that walk ahead of me and have worked and lived the steps and continue to do my 10th step and get closer to God daily. So thanks again, and I love you all. I'm looking forward to seeing you all on the OA birthday. Love you.
Thank you, Monica M. from Delaware. And it looks like we have time for two more shares. If anyone would like to share this morning.
Jane F.
Jane?
Yes.
Okay. Anybody else?
Vanessa G.
Vanessa. Thank you. Okay, Jane F. and Vanessa, I'm going to give you 2.5 minutes. Jane F., please share with us.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Jane S., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Still, I love to hear myself say that, and I know that's not me, that's God. And all of you, thank you for your shares this morning. Thank you for your service. And I'm just so grateful to be here today. My journey has been long, like so many of us here, in and out of this program for years. But for the last 6 months today, to this day today, I've been in the steps with such a deeper surrender. And my fears, facing my fears this time, with honesty, rigorous honesty, and a trust and reliance on a God that I don't understand, but that is definitely doing for me what I cannot do for myself. And this time around, when I drilled the fears down, I was taught this time to look at them and drill them down and look at what I really am fearful of, and it's being sad or uncomfortable, or, you know, it was said here this morning, push *1, you know, and walk through your fear. And so I did, you know, and I had that huge fear of what everybody's going to think of me. And you know what? I've learned that it's none of my business, you know, just as long as I'm coming from an honest, accepting, loving, and tolerant way from my heart, leading from my heart, and trusting in my higher power, who I can call God today, and working and seeking only on what His will is for me today and how I can move closer to her, to Him on a daily basis, is just what an amazing way to live, is all I can say. Thank you for everyone being here. And if you're like I am and struggle with hitting *1, just do it and ask God to demonstrate through you what He wants you to say, because that's what I just did. So I'm grateful to be here. Happy New Year. I love you all. And look forward to seeing people in California this year for the first time ever. Take care. Bye-bye. I pass.
Thank you, Jane F. And Vanessa G., please share with us.
Thank you, everyone, for a wonderful meeting. This is Vanessa G., recovered in New Mexico. And I'll bookend this meeting with the idea, or, you know, what I heard, and not the idea, but the experience that I heard in the lead share. I, too, was one of those people who laughed at those I laughed at those people who wore their faith on their sleeve or who seemed to rely upon, quote-unquote, this God that I just did not believe was there. And when I came to program, I still laughed to a certain extent, but or felt, you know, that same way. But I wasn't laughing at my situation. I was so desperate and so in need. And if you're new, and this looks like it's going to be difficult, I can only tell you what worked for me. And what worked for me was acting as if. I just started praying. And prayer has seen me through. I've demonstrated through the steps to myself that I do have a higher power, that I do have a God, that I have this spirit within that has given me the strength to get abstinent, to work through these steps, and to actually become what God would have me be. I never take that for granted. There is a power greater than myself that I found within myself, but I had to start with an ask. with a prayer. Please help me do these things. Please strengthen me so that I can walk through my fifth step. Please strengthen me so that I can get through the steps. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Vanessa G., and thank you to everyone who shared this morning. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Wednesday, January 1st, 2025, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,044. That's 22044. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Vanessa G., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only, and he'll keep you until then.
I will. Thank you so much again for letting me be of service today. My name is Vanessa G., and I'm still a recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you can't transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right. And great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Freely of what you find. And join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.